Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is... Many of you may recognize that. The more mature folks might remember it from the TV show from the late 60s, early 70s. Some others of you millennials might know it as Mission Impossible, right? Tom Cruise, even though he's a whack job. Pretty good actor. But anyway, in life, let me put it to you this way. In life, not very often do we get to decide our mission, particularly if we are Christians. If we're Christians, we are given a mission by God, and we are to do it. Jonah, chapter 3 and 4. While you're turning there, I'll do a little bit more introduction here. Jonah was given a mission. And you know what? You have a mission as well. I don't know what yours is, but by the end of today, I hope that you start thinking more and more about what that might be and whether you're doing what you're supposed to do. Starting in chapter 3, verse 1. We'll go through the first few verses here. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. What we're going to see is that Jonah did not like the destination of his mission. He didn't like where he was going. Verse 1 says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey." The second time, what does that tell you? God had to ask him twice. We all know the first couple chapters of Jonah, right? The story, everybody can remember that from Sunday school. If we go back to the very beginning of chapter 1, God calls him and says, go. And he's like, I don't really want to go there. So what did he do? He repented from God. You know, when you repent, you're turning to something. He repented from God. In fact, he wanted to go to Tarshish, which was exactly the opposite in the other direction from where God wanted him to go. He thought of the place that he could go furthest away. You know, sometimes when God calls us and asks us to do things, we think we can hide from him, don't we? He's going to catch you. He'll get you. I guarantee it. He'll get you. So don't hide from God. First time obedience, I will be honest, my son, I love my son, and I'm not throwing him under the bus, but first time obedience is an issue with him. Just like first time obedience was an issue with me, if we're going to be honest, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Good or bad or indifferent, it does not. So when I get frustrated with him, I have to remember, oh yeah, that was me. First time obedience is something difficult for us. Jonah had an issue with it. Arise and go into Nineveh. Same place. Didn't change the destination. God didn't change his mind. Jonah had to change his. That great city. It could mean also, instead of great city, it could mean exceedingly large city. There's debate among scholars whether that is talking about the size of the city, which was pretty big. You're talking about the city and then the surrounding suburbs. Could have been about 60 miles in circumference. But it was a great city for a different reason. Why do you think that reason is? Because there were souls there. There were people there. And as we see in chapter 4, as it talks about it, and God brings this to Jonah's attention, which he already knew, but brings it to his attention, what we're going to see is that's why it was a great city to God. See, Jonah didn't like that. Why? He didn't like the people. It had nothing to do. It could have been Hawaii, and if they were bad people in Hawaii, I don't think there are bad people in Hawaii. I'm sure that there are bad people everywhere. How many of you would sign up to go on a mission trip to Hawaii? Okay, I'm seeing some. Alaska? I don't know. Yeah, Josh, I know. I knew you. The point being is this. It's the people. The Assyrians, right? They were known as nasty, nasty, nasty people. What they did to the people that they captured, they tortured them, man. They treated them awful. In fact, speaking of Hawaii, they used to, as a warning, and also to show as trophies, what they would do to the people that they captured, they would use human tiki torches. They would have them in front of the city so you could see them. That's a lovely place to go. Tiki torches are supposed to keep away flies, right? Wouldn't these attract? Well, never mind. The point being is this. He didn't want to go because he didn't want to have to deal with those people. Now, you know what? You might say, you know, I would never do that. Really? I want you to look inside your heart and ask yourself the question, is there somewhere that I would not go for God? Is there somewhere that I would not go because I don't like the food? Because I don't like how they smell? I don't like how they look? I don't like their earrings, their nose rings, their tattoos? Whatever it is that you don't like, is there something that would prevent you from going? You need to change your attitude. Because that's where Jonah is sitting right now. Jonah is sitting at a place where he's like, God, I don't want to go there. I don't care how great a city it is. I don't care who's there. I don't like them. And that's going to stop me from going. It stopped him one time. Now, there are many commentators as you read, and we move on, and it says, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. As so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. He went, but did he do it with the right heart? Does God want us to have the right heart when we serve Him? Does He want us to do it the right way? You bet He does. And we'll see that in the second part of this. So he didn't like the destination. He didn't like the idea that he had to go and be with those people in his mission. The next part he didn't like is he didn't like the outcome of his mission. He didn't like how it turned out. In fact, chapter 4 tells us he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew what God was going to do, but here it says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Verse 4. Jonah began a day's journey. That does not mean he was a day into the city. It means he started out on his journey the first day. Remember, up in verse 3 here, it says it's a 3 days' journey. Now, again, talking about the size of the city, what is this talking about, a 3 days' journey? The idea in this culture, what they would do in order to be a proper ambassador, it would take you 3 days to go throughout the city. Okay, so in order for me to go out and to hear, I believe what it's talking about is, in order for Jonah to preach the message properly, he needed to take 3 days to do it. In order to catch every crevice and nook and cranny in the city, he needed to take 3 days to do it. What does it say? And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He was partway through the first day, and he cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. A message from the Lord. All of you VeggieTale fans. Now, you laugh at that, and VeggieTales, I wouldn't say it's exactly theologically correct. But here, you know what? Here's something interesting. They got it right. A message from the Lord. In Hebrew, this is 5 words. That's all Jonah spoke. That's all he said. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. A few more words in English. This is the worst evangelism I've ever heard. That's all he said. Does this sound like a man To say that he's half-hearted would give him more credit than he deserves. Jonah here is just going in, okay, mark it off. That's all I'm doing. That's all I care about. He's going in and thinking that he can just go in and check mark. Yeah, I did it. Take out the garbage. We'll use something simple. Can you take out the garbage joyfully? Or can you say, yeah, I'll take out the garbage. That's Jonah here. Jonah is not happy that he has to do this. So what does he do? He walks partway in the city. Yeah, you have 40 days and you guys are going to be overthrown, man. That's it. That's all he did. Does this sound like a guy who is really into it? Not exactly. There's God and there's not exactly. Oh, never mind. Here's the point. It says Nineveh shall be overthrown. The interesting part of this word, it can either mean destroyed or it can be turned around. Repent. Very similar. So you know what? Ironically, and this story drips with irony, the irony here is, guess what? He's right. In 40 days, something's going to happen. Either they are going to turn or it's going to be destroyed. It's going to happen. Now there, again, commentators will talk about, did they know that there was a condition to this? You know what? Down in verse 9, it tells us that they weren't even sure. Because Jonah did such a poor job of preaching. So the people of Nineveh believe God. What? How did they believe God from those words? How is that possible? Just from those few words. Remember, the power is not in the messenger. The power is in the one who gives the message. Remember that, folks. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you say. God can even turn it and use it, even if you don't say it exactly right. When you're evangelizing, and you may not be the best speaker, you may not be the person who can go up to somebody, introduce yourself, and start talking spiritual things, God will use your faithfulness and the gifts that you have. It does not matter that it may not come out exactly right, or it may not come out as it's written on a tract or something. That's not the point, folks. That's not what he's looking for. It is the message and the messenger, the one who gives the message, not the messenger. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about the one who's giving the message. This should be an encouragement to us that even if we don't say things exactly right, God's going to use it. But it should also be a warning that we should not take it lightly and treat it this way. So it's twofold. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. Now this is probably a summary, and the next few verses probably are giving the detail behind that the word got to the king. The king did this himself. Put on sackcloth, sat in ashes. This is true mourning that they were doing over the sin that had come before them that God had brought to their mind. Certainly Nineveh, Jonah didn't have much to do with giving that to the Ninevites. God did. God arrested their heart. You know how many people you're going to save in your life? Zero. God may allow you to lead someone to the Lord. You may be part of that process where you do the actual picking of the grain, but you, young man, young woman, mature man, mature woman, me, will save no one. God does the saving. And we always have to remember that. They even got to the point that they put sackcloth and they had a fast for the animals. They were serious. They were more serious than Jonah. The actual messenger, the guy that God sent, he didn't do too much, did he? Verse 9, I want to get to this because I think this is important. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from the fierce anger that we perish not? They were hoping. Jonah didn't give him any indication that God would repent or that this was conditional upon what they did. What did they do? They were faithful. They were faithful to what they thought they needed to do. God brought that to their heart and to their minds. So when you think that maybe you aren't saying the right thing, you're not doing the right thing, are you faithfully trying to share Christ with other people? Let him worry about the outcome. You be faithful to what you've been called to do and your mission. And God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. He saw that they were genuine. There are some commentators that will say, well, you know, they worship Dagon, god of the fish. And maybe they just thought that because Jonah showed up with his probably pale skin from the acid in the belly of the whale. But anyway, he showed up looking like that. They may have said, well, they knew that there was a higher power. No, I believe that this is true repentance. I believe that they truly did repent of their sin. And they believed Jonah's God, not theirs. The next section, the first four verses of chapter 4. The problem is Jonah didn't see or didn't want to see the value of his mission. Those first four verses in chapter 4 say this: But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, as was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? He didn't see any value in what he was doing. He got to the point that he wanted, dear Lord, let me die. Oh, stop whining, Jonah. Get over it, dude. He didn't like this. He got angry. Not only was he displeased, he got angry at God because of what? Exodus 34, verse 6, basically repeats what he says here. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest of the evil. He knew that he was gracious and compassionate. That's why he didn't want to go. Goes back to the very first point. He didn't like the people. He didn't want to see them saved. You know, you may be saying in your heart and in your mind, I want to see everyone saved. Make sure that's true. Because we and our minds and our hearts can look at some people and think that they're different, or that there's no way that they could be saved, or they shouldn't be saved. We have to be very careful about that. God saves who he chooses, right? Right? Our job is to be faithful, and we are to let him be the one that determines the value. We should value what he values, and he values all humans. He values his creation in its entirety. But we need to make sure that we value what he values. Is Jonah wrong? He is a God who's gracious and merciful and compassionate. If we are truly those that are his, should we not be the same way? Should we not be gracious, merciful, compassionate to everyone, not just those we think? And I'm not pointing at anybody, because I can tell you this, folks. There have been times in my life that I have allowed myself to get caught in that, where I start to pick and choose who I think is and is not worthy. Be careful. Be careful. Then the Lord said, dost thou well to be angry? Really, Jonah? My son would probably say, come on, man. Anybody watch ESPN. But anyway, that would be what my son would say, because he loves that. He thinks it's funny. Really? You're angry because I did what? Because I allowed people to come to repentance? Now look, Nineveh was taken care of about 150 years later. It only probably took them a generation or so for it to wash out. Can I ask you this question? Was Israel much better? If we're not careful, guess what? We won't be much better. We need to carry the torch. We need to be faithful to the mission that God has given us. The outcome is his. And he's the one that places the value on it, not us. Finally, he didn't see or want to see the end of the mission. Verse 5 says, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, where more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Jonah went outside the city what? Why'd he go outside the city? Why'd he stay there? Zzz. He was hoping that God would change his mind again. Zzz. Zap him. The irony here is he's sitting in a scorching wind. Who's the one burning? Think about that for a second. Isn't that funny? Who's the one burning here? It's Jonah. But he wanted to see what would happen. Isn't that in our heart? Those people that we think, "Oh, I want to see them go down. Yeah." Vengeance is the Lord's, and the Lord will take care of it, but that's not your timing to call. It's his. He's the one that takes care of it. He didn't like the end here. He didn't like the fact that God had purposed in himself, being God, his own mind and heart, to have Nineveh repent. It says here that God prepared. He prepared a plant. He prepared a worm. The same word, he prepared the fish. God appointed these things. God used these things in Jonah's life to try to point him in the right direction. Jonah didn't get it. Jonah didn't understand what God was trying to do with him and through him. You know what? If you go to 2 Kings, you'll see that Jonah actually presented a message. He was one of the prophets, maybe the only one you can find, that had a positive message for the Israelites. He had a positive message for the Ninevites. And he wasn't happy about it. What is that about? Have you ever had a positive message or encouragement that you give to somebody and you either refuse to do it or you're not happy about doing it because it's not convenient for you? Because maybe it'll take you out of your way? Because maybe you'll have to rub elbows with somebody that you don't like or don't care for? I would love to tell you that that's never happened to me. But it has. And my guess is that there might be other people in this room that they've allowed things like that to get in their way and stop them from doing what God has them to do. Verse 11, we'll go there. Because we know Jonah was pretty much a whiner. He sat there and cried and whined and wanted to die again. Does that remind you of somebody else? Remember Isaiah? Right? Was it Isaiah or was it Elijah? Dr. Novel? It was Elijah. Sorry. Elijah. He wanted to die because he thought his mission was a failure. This guy wants to die and his was a success. What has he done? His preferences, his priorities, all of him in front of what God wants. Who are we to say what God wants to do? How dare us do that? Now look, it's okay to have preferences. It's okay to be a little different than everybody else. But here's the point. That should never be something that gets in the way of the mission that God has for you. You have to take yourself and set yourself aside. It's not about you. It's about Him, and it's about the mission that He has for you. And there are days that I have very much difficulty with that, and I struggle. But here's the point at the end. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You love the plant. Even if you didn't like the people, think of the cows. At least think of them. Are they not more important than the plant? Now, this 60,000 persons, there are many that will take that to mean children, small children. I believe it's talking more about the immaturity. Because it says, what's his point? You need to go to the people that don't know any better. Your mission and your job is to give the word of the Lord to those people who don't know their right from their left. They don't know what they're doing is wrong. Do you have friends like that? Are there people that you know or interact with that are like that? They don't know any different. That's why God's sending you. That's why God's sending me. Somebody has to tell them. Just because it's not your choice of where you'd want to go, just because it's not who you would like to hang out with, just because the results aren't exactly the way that you'd like to see them or have planned them out, that's not the important part. Are you faithful? Faithful. Here's the end. Jonah's name in Hebrew means dove. What do you think of when you think of a dove? Part of the pigeon family, right? A message of peace. We're in the Christmas season. A message of peace. What was Jonah's job to do? To go and share a message that God gave them of peace. And he did a terrible job. He didn't live up to his name. That's the irony of his name. He didn't live up to it. He didn't fulfill the mission that God wanted him to do the way that God wanted him to do it. Now look, the mission got done in spite of Jonah, not because of Jonah, because it was God's mission. But what did Jonah miss out on? The blessings. I heard somebody say it. The blessings. If you grumble, if you gruff, if you're not happy about what you're doing, God's going to get it done with you or without you. I would rather if God asked me to do something, go ahead and do it because I'll be blessed. That doesn't mean I'll be rich. It doesn't mean I'll get something out of it. But what it does mean is it means I'll be blessed. That's what he does. He allows us to see the fruit of the labor that he gives us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do anything I want. No. If he gives me a mission, sure shooting, he is going to give me the power to do it. And I need to do it joyfully and with a grateful heart. Thankful servant, a servant that gives thanks, right? Jonah is an example of what not to do. And unfortunately, the Bible tells us that many times, and I don't know about you, I learn a lot more from my mistakes than I do my successes. Let's learn from Jonah's mistake. So I have one question for you as we close. How about your mission? Are you treating your mission the way that you should? God has something for each and every one of us. Some of it he's made clear. Some of you know exactly where you're going. You know exactly where God's pointing you. You know, God's, others of you, he's sort of filtering you a certain way. But here's my point. Whatever direction he has you going in, whatever path he has you on, it doesn't matter what the end is. It matters that you are faithful each step of the way. He promises that he's going to be with us every step. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you think of a lamp or a light like they would use, it would not illuminate the whole path. It would illuminate the next step. You have to put faith and trust in what he is doing each step of the way. Are you faithful? Are you cheerful about the mission that he has for you? There are days that are difficult, and there are days that you will question, I do. But we should be encouraged that God's work will be done, and we should want to be a part of it, unlike Jonah. Be a dove. Be a dove. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the many examples that you've given us through your word. Dear Lord, you've given us many examples of how we are to act, what we are to do, but unfortunately, dear Lord, there are times that you give us examples of how not to act and what not to do. Dear Lord, help us to learn from their mistakes so that we are not repeating them. Give us a heart that is for you. Give us a heart that is for people. Give us a heart to want to go wherever it is that you would lead us so that we can be as effective as possible for you. Dear Lord, there are days that I fail. There are days that I misstep. But dear Lord, thank you for giving me the strength to get up and to carry on and get back on the path. And I pray that you would help each and every one of us to get on the path that you want us to be on, and that we are faithful and joyful to the mission that you have called us to. Dear Lord, we thank you and we love you that you call us your children through what your Son has done, through his birth, through his death, through his resurrection. Dear Lord, we thank you what you have done in our lives. We thank you for what you are doing in our lives. And we thank you for the many promises that you have given us for the future. All of this we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.